Blog Talk Radio.
On the top of Mount Zion is a city, and the earth with glory it's a fill. I shall look on its beauty in the morning when I reach that city on the hill. Oh, that city, on Mount Zion,
on Mount Zion.
Though a pilgrim, yet I love thee still. I'll not leave thee, through the ages, when I reach that city on the hill.
I'm invited to come home to that city, for the word says whosoever will. And I'll find there a mansion for me waiting, when I reach that city on the hill.
Oh, that city, on Mount Zion,
on Mount Zion.
Though a pilgrim, yet I love thee still. I'll not leave thee, through the ages, when I reach that city on the hill. Death will never molest me in that city, never leave me lying cold and chill. But I'll enter to live up there forever when I reach that city on the hill. Oh, that city, on Mount Zion,
on Mount Zion.
Though a pilgrim, yet I love thee still. I'll not leave thee, through the ages, when I reach that city on the hill.
Good afternoon to all of my precious brothers and sisters. Greetings in the name of Christ Jesus our Lord. Welcome to another Manna from Heaven broadcast. Our scripture text for today is Jeremiah 51:51. And it reads, "We are confounded because we have heard reproach. Shame have covered our faces. For strangers are the sanctuaries of the Lord's house." The title of our study this week is "Strangers Came, Invaded, and Despoiled Judah." Let us pray. Holy Spirit, today we turn to you again for leadership, that you may lead us and guide us to all truth. We are waging war, Holy Spirit, good soldiers of Christ. Help us. Give us understanding. Give us wisdom in this hour of great darkness and perversity throughout the earth. Help us, Holy Spirit, by showing us error, by showing us what's wrong, by giving us an uneasy feeling when the enemy of our souls comes as an angel of light, when he is really an angel of darkness. Give us wisdom, Holy Spirit, for we need it in this hour where wisdom is lacking. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. In our text, the strangers referred to are the Babylonians. The Babylonians, says Jeremiah, are come into. That phrase means they have invaded. What have they invaded? The sanctuaries, or every holy inch of the house of God. Every room, every facility, everything that was devoted to the service of Jehovah, everything that was sanctified and set apart by oil, considered sacred, has now been trampled upon by the enemy, by the strangers, by the invaders, by the barbarians. And they, in opposition to God, have now made things secular, have made holy things common, and have turned sacred things and made them profane. Today we want to look at strangers are coming to the sanctuary, and here we have it, of the Lord's house. What is Satan targeting in these last days? Is he targeting government? No. Satan already has government in his pocket. Satan already has the nations of the earth and their rulers in his back pocket. So he's not looking to invade governments. Is Satan looking to invade the universities of our land? Absolutely not. He's already taken possession of those. Look at the teachings. Look at the nonsense. Look at the foolishness. Look at the anti-God propaganda being taught in our universities and colleges. Even in our great seminaries, like New Brunswick Theological Seminary, the oldest seminary in the United States, New Brunswick in New Jersey. It is so liberal. It is so anti-God. Satan is not looking to take over the political structures of this world. He's not looking to take over the universities and the colleges. He's got those. Is Satan looking, what is he looking to take over, Wall Street? He's got Wall Street in his pocket. Only one segment of society. Look, Hollywood, you think Satan is worried about invading Hollywood? He's got Hollywood. Hollywood is doing his bidding. Every segment of society Satan has except one, and that is the Lord's house. He is coming hard for the Lord's house, just as the Babylonians did in Genesis chapter 10 with Nimrod. And in Genesis chapter 11, Nimrod, the founder of Babel. What is Babel? Babylon equals rebellion. Babylon equals war against God. That was exemplified by Nimrod in Genesis 10 and in Genesis 11. For he was a mighty hunter before the Lord. The Lord took note of Nimrod's barbaric practices against his fellow man as he conquered one land after another, leaving behind him a trail of innocent blood. That's Nimrod. And then we see that in the book of Daniel under the Neo-Babylon Empire under Nebuchadnezzar. We see the same thing. Babylon equals confusion, equals rebellion, equals anti-God. So today's Babylon, which is now on the rise, and it is called Mystery Babylon. By the way, today's Babylon, which is predicted to come into emergence in the book of Revelation, the 17th chapter, this mystery Babylon is already on the rise and making inroads into the church. The church is the last segment of society that Satan has not fully conquered. Satan is coming, entering, invading the sanctuaries of the Lord's house. Now, let's go back to Daniel chapter 1 as I make my case today. Daniel chapter 1. We're going to go to the audio Bible reading. We're going to read Daniel chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. Please follow me in your Bible. Daniel chapter 1, verses 1 through 7.
The book of Daniel. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, with some of the articles of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar, to the house of his God. And he brought the articles into the treasure house of his God.
Now remember, saints, we talked about Nebuchadnezzar going after the literal vessels, the vessels made out of gold and silver that you find recorded in Daniel 1, verses 1 and 2. But now Nebuchadnezzar is going after the spiritual vessels, the human beings who serve the Lord. You and I are vessels of service unto God. Christians are vessels of service. So now Nebuchadnezzar turns his attention to the human resource, or the human resources in the church, which are our children and our young people. This is starting at verse number 3.
Then the king instructed Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, to bring some of the children of Israel, and some of the king's descendants, and some of the nobles, young men in whom there was no blemish, but good-looking, gifted in all wisdom, possessing knowledge and quick to understand, who had ability to serve in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the language and literature of the Chaldeans.
So notice in verse 3, who are they targeting? The children. The children. Of the king's seed, of the royal seed, your children, my children, our children belong to King Jesus. Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. They're looking for children with no blemish. Children in the church have no blemish. Children in the church are well-favored. Children in the church are skillful in all wisdom, cunning in knowledge, and in understanding of the sciences. Why? Because they're favored by the Lord our God. Our children are special children because they have been dedicated since infancy to the service of the Lord. That's what Babylon is coming after. Let's continue reading. We're reading, picking it up at verse 5.
And the king appointed for them a daily provision of the king's delicacies and of the wine which he drank, and 3 years of training for them, so that at the end of that time they might serve before the king. Now from among those of the sons of Judah were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. To them the chief of the eunuchs gave names. He gave Daniel the name Belteshazzar, to Hananiah Shadrach, to Mishael Meshach, and to Azariah Abednego.
Now Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are the three who would not worship Nebuchadnezzar's image. They were thrown into the fiery furnace. And of course, Daniel is the main character of the book that bears his name. These four are but a sampling. They're but a sample of what Nebuchadnezzar took back to Babylon to pollute them. But he went after the children, our children, God's children, the future generation. Satan is not coming after me, my dear brothers and sisters, and he's not coming after men and women of God who have already lived their lives. He's coming after the next generation. Mystery Babylon is coming after the next generation. When they invade, they are coming to despoil the church of a next generation, because if this generation dies, if my generation, your generation dies, and there's no future generation to take our place, the church is dead. That's the strategy. Let people like you and I die off. They've already taken the next generation captive, and in so doing, the church is finished. The strategy. It's always been the strategy. And this is why today we have Babylonians invading the church. Now, the Babylonians of today come in many stripes and colors. The Babylonians of today come in what? Many stripes and colors. Let me give you just one stripe of the Babylonian invaders. They're called drag queens. Drag queens. Okay. Now, I have some audio that I want to play for you. And I want you to see who are the drag queens coming after. Who are these men put on this heavy makeup and dressed like women? Who are these people coming after when they come into the Lord's house? Now, years ago, we were alarmed to know that there was a program called the Drag Queen Storytelling Hour. This started maybe 5 years ago. It was called the Drag Queen Storytelling Hour. And they began to invade public libraries. They began to do their shows and their readings in public libraries. Well, 5 years later, they have invaded the church. They have invaded the sanctuaries of the Lord. They have invaded the house of God. And they are coming after the Daniels of today, that young generation of today. So let's listen to the audios, because it's not about the drag queens having a drag queen storytelling hour in public forums. It's about drag queens promoting their pollution, their confusion, their rebellion, their anti-God agenda in the house of the Lord. Here it is.
Illinois United Methodist Church worships with and supports drag queen leader. On Drag Sunday, which was April 11th, United Methodist Church had this man, Mr. Isaac Simons, lead worship at his local congregation. And after he led worship, they advocated for him to be a pastor in the United Methodist Church. You may know that the UMC is undergoing a split based on homosexuality and transgender issues primarily. And clearly Mr. Simons and his alter ego, Pentecost, is trying to normalize certain types of behavior.
Now, did you hear that? The drag queen, when he gets dressed up, which, by the way, was voted in as the new pastor, the drag queen, when he's in drag, his stage name is Pentecost, or Pentecost. It's a play on the Jewish feast, Pentecost. Notice they pollute everything. Well, this drag queen came to church, led worship, and was voted in as the next pastor of the church. Here's another audio that may surprise you.
One congregation in Austin gathered for a church service this morning, but get this, there's a twist. This Sunday morning service doubled as a drag show. Our Emily Pofall has more on what this means for the area's LGBTQ community.
Meet Roxy, also known as Dylan Kircher. Roxy is a drag queen. She's been performing her whole life.
singing, dancing, performing, and looking great doing it.
She also grew up in the church.
It means so much to be such an outpour of love and support from a community that, growing up, I thought would reject me at first.
Austin Congregational Church is open and affirming, meaning they welcome people of all gender and sexual orientations and expressions. What church leaders call a safe space for the LGBTQ community in Austin.
There is always a need for solidarity. There is always a need for support.
Something the Austin community has been waiting for.
I think in our community especially, there has been a gap.
There is always a need for people to stand in the gap and to support each other and to just say that you are loved.
Roxy, along with church leaders, organized the event called Drag Me to Church to bring the community together.
What we wanted this to be was a deliberate, intentional welcome to the LGBT community.
Not just in this church, all are welcome, but in our community, all are welcome.
Roxy performed during the service and afterwards during brunch with two other local queens. The Queens and Austin Congregational Church hope to continue their partnership with more LGBTQ pride events in the coming months to bring joy to what they feel is an underrepresented part of the community.
The allies and the supporters, to see that growing in this community is great.
In Austin, Emily Pofall, ABC 6 News.
What a great story there. Now, all donations from the event went to the Trevor Project, an organization dedicated to suicide prevention and LGBT youth. Now,
so the event is called, that was Sunday event, was called Drag Me to Church. Drag Me to Church. Amazing. Not drag me to the public library, not drag me to the public park, not drag me to a concert, not, no, no. Drag me to church. Here's another interesting audio.
So you say you've had enough. You saw that teacher performing in drag for high school students in Wisconsin. Well, get ready for more woke craziness, this time in a church. Trinity Lutheran Church of Greenville, South Carolina.
Now, the first clip was of a Methodist church. The second clip that I just played for you was for an independent church, a church like Grace Church. So a Methodist church had Drag Sunday, an independent church had Drag Sunday. But this one here, this is another church, a Lutheran church. Notice, every single denomination within Christendom is being invaded by these mystery Babylon advocates.
Well, get ready for more woke craziness, this time in a church. Trinity Lutheran Church of Greenville, South Carolina announces Drag Me to Church, featuring Lady Duche. Keep in mind, it's not replacing a regular Sunday service in the sanctuary. It's an event scheduled for a Thursday evening in the church gym. So I wonder if they'll open the drag performance with prayer. The Trinity Church Facebook page promises that you'll be endlessly entertained as the Lady Duche leads us through her unique style of worship, which includes as many laughs as it does amens. The announcement says the drag show is about church, faith, and God's inclusive love. Yes, folks, churches need to be inclusive. People from all walks of life, rich, poor, prostitutes, drunkards, homosexuals, should be welcomed in. They need to be places where the gospel and Jesus changes their lives, not where they change the church to embrace worldly ways. Hebrews 13:8 tells us that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's unchangeable. He never bends with the culture. No one ever changes Jesus or the life lessons he has given us. They remain forever. Folks, if this is how churches are hoping to fill their pews after the pandemic, they're walking down the wrong path. Yes, God loves everyone, including drag queens, but he wants us to come into a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. It's not about being entertained by a drag queen or anyone else. Churches should be holy temples, a place where we bring honor and glory to him, not to us. How does a man dressed like a woman strutting his stuff in a church bring glory to God? Isn't it really a slap in his face? It's saying, God, you may be the creator of the universe, but when you created me, you made a mistake. I really feel like a woman. I'm not a man. It's saying, I know better than God, so I'm creating myself in the image that I have for myself, not in his image or what God intends for me. Remember, Jesus overturned the tables of the money changers who conducted business in the temple. So how do you think he feels about drag shows in church? Isn't it disrespecting his temple? Yes, Jesus did hang out with tax collectors and prostitutes, not because he approved of their actions, but because he wanted to build them up and transform their lives, show them the way, the truth, the life. He never condoned their sin. In fact, when the Pharisees were ready to stone a woman caught in adultery, Jesus said, "Let those without sin cast the first stone." We Christians should never cast stones at drag queens or anyone else. We too are sinners. But also as followers of Jesus, we try to be like him. And that means showing compassion for people, but also pointing the way to godliness in the church. So like Jesus, who told the woman he did not condemn her for adultery, we need to remind Trinity Lutheran to go and sin no more. Well, that's it today.
I have two more. Here's one more interesting clip. This is a Methodist church conducting a drag queen conducting another drag performance at a Methodist church in Durham, North Carolina. This is in every state, saints. Every state and every denomination is being infiltrated by these mystery Babylon agents.
In Durham found a unique way to oppose a decision by leaders of the United Methodist Church and support members of the Triangle's LGBTQ community. CBS 17's Zach Dahlheimer shows us how they came together to spread their message.
It's loud, it's celebratory.
People packed Calvary United Methodist Church in Durham Saturday. They called it Drag Me to Church.
It brings such good and positive energy.
Chris Agaranos is the church's pastor and is behind all members.
I told them as their pastor that I love them and that I'm committed to them.
After United Methodist Church leaders decided to uphold a ban on same-sex marriage and ordaining LGBTQ clergy.
Our voice of resistance to that is to be a space of celebration that holds space for everybody, that loves and affirms everybody.
It's a church that helps save my life.
How many of you have never been to a drag show?
David Prater shares that same message, emceeing a family-friendly drag show and silent auction at the church, opposing the decision while supporting the Durham Church's LGBTQ youth group Inside Out 180.
I've made a bunch of friends here, and it's really helped with my mental health.
Gus Savara is a member of Inside Out 180.
I think it's a good way to promote diversity, and it's also a form of like peaceful protest in a way.
It's not about being apart from, it's about being a part of.
Organizers say they hope to continue events like this, standing up for all. In Durham, Zach Dahlheimer, CBS 17 News.
Organizers tell us today's event raised $5,000 for Inside Out 180.
You see, they raised $5,000 to help pollute the minds of children. They didn't raise $5,000 for missions. They raised $5,000 for the preaching of the gospel. They raised $5,000 to promote an organization that goes around confusing the minds of young people concerning their gender. One more, saints. I know this is hard to listen to, but one more. Here it is.
And I've had a few people in the congregation over the years kind of say, why are there drag queens at church?
Now, this is the pastor. The pastor is a woman. I have nothing against women pastors. I have many friends who are women pastors. But here's a woman pastor endorsing drag queens in her church, opening the door for drag queens to invade her church, to pollute the minds of little children, to confuse them. Remember what Babylon is. Babylon confuses and pollutes. This is why King Nebuchadnezzar wanted the Hebrew children brought to be given a certain diet, to change their names, to introduce them to Babylonian culture in order to do what? In order to confuse them about their spiritual heritage and pollute them. But Daniel and his three friends would not be swayed. Here's this female pastor endorsing the drag queen hour in her church.
And I've had a few people in the congregation over the years kind of say, why are there drag queens at church? And I want to say, why not? And if you'd like to introduce yourself or if you have anything else to say, go for it. This is your moment.
Oh, it's our time to shine. Hello. What a joy it is to share this beautiful Sunday morning with you. It's very exciting. I've never been here before, and it's thank you for inviting us.
Notice he's never been there before. He's never been there, but he's elated to be there. Why? Because as a Babylonian, he's an invader. He's elated that this pastor would open the door to him and his colleague to do their drag queen show.
Why not? And if you'd like to introduce yourself or if you have anything else to say, go for it. This is your moment.
Oh, it's our time to shine. Hello. What a joy it is to share this beautiful Sunday morning with you. It's very exciting. I've never been here before, and it's thank you for inviting us into your church and into your hearts today. We're going to be reading.
Notice, thank you for inviting us to your church and into your hearts. Now, this is the time when the preaching of the word should be taking place. But the pastor has sat herself down and has given the pulpit to these two drag queens, which now are going to co-read a book on juvenile gender disorder. Listen to this.
In your church and into your hearts today, we're going to be reading Why We Fly the Rainbow today by Miss Minty Beats, which is just a fabulous name, by the way. We're going to just alternate. I'm going to read two pages, and then the lovely Katana will take over and take some pages, and we're just going to go back and forth.
Children that want to come a little bit closer, you're welcome to come up close.
Now, do you hear the pastor? The pastor's bringing up these little lambs like sacrifices. The children, come on up. Children, come, draw near to the drag queens, because this is a drag queen storytelling hour. They're the ones that are going to be ministering. Notice she doesn't say adults come up. She doesn't say grandpa and grandma come up. She doesn't say married couples come up. No, she says little children with no blemishes. Little pure lambs, come on up.
Children that want to come a little bit closer, you're welcome to come up closer.
Yeah, no,
welcome
to the adults. We would love to have some kids join us. Love to have some kids join us. Would love to have some kids join us. It's okay to be shy. I'm also intimidated by Katana's beauty, so.
It's not a thing.
It's a thing. Perfect. We'll get some time. I see one up in the stands. Come and join us. We would love to have you. We see you. I'm waving at you. Hi. Hello. They're running.
Yeah, they're running away. Those little children wouldn't have it. Now, look how demented the minds of the parents are in exposing their children to something like this. But the children wouldn't have it. the children ran away. The children had more spiritual sense than the parents. My brothers and sisters, strangers are come into the sanctuaries of the Lord's house. And listen, this is just one battalion. This is just one group of spiritual soldiers that represent Mystery Babylon. We can go on and on and on and talk about all the different ways Mystery Babylon is invading our churches today. I'll be back tomorrow. May the Lord bless you and keep you. Make the Lord watch over you and your children, and may you be blessed as you ponder everything that we've spoken about today, everything that we've shared, everything that we've considered, everything that we've heard today. May you ponder it in prayer. God bless you.
Of that mansion someday.